It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
As we reimagine a post-COVID economy, what about creating a big financial portfolio for everybody? I'm David Brancaccio. First, with new coronavirus cases spiking, especially in southern and western states, reopenings are being reconsidered. Disney has theme parks in those areas and had been planning to open gates mid-summer. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Disney has already reopened some theme parks in Asia, but the U.S. is proving to be more tricky amid a resurgence of coronavirus cases, likely tracing back to Memorial Day when many states began loosening restrictions. In Florida, where more than 109,000 cases have been reported, capacity is already thinning for hospital intensive care units, even as Disney goes forward with plans to reopen its massive theme park there next month. A workers' petition online is calling for the company to reconsider. In California, unions representing Disneyland employees, some 17,000 of them, are also balking at reopening plans. There, Disney has announced it will postpone a planned mid-July reopening, citing delays in getting guidelines from state officials. California is in the midst of an alarming rise in cases. A record spike came Tuesday, bringing the state total to more than 190,000. Shuttered theme parks have already cost Disney more than $1 billion in profits. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
After the Dow fell 710 points, 2.7% yesterday, the Dow future is down 0.3% now. The credit rating of Canada has been downgraded from stellar to pretty darn good still. The loss of AAA status follows government borrowing during this COVID era. Wirecard, the digital payments company based in Germany, where $2 billion turned up missing this week and the CEO was arrested. Today, Wirecard filed for bankruptcy protection.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We're regularly asking a diverse range of thinkers how they would reimagine the economy to get the economic system we want, not just the one we had before COVID. This morning to a new book called Angrynomics. It's about what to do about two types of anger driving society, corrosive anger that stokes divisions, and the other, a moral anger based on systems failing people. Mark Blythe, the political economist at the Watson Institute for International and Public Affairs at Brown University, wrote the book with economist and hedge fund manager Eric Lonergan. I asked Blythe about institutional racism driving righteous anger.
Of course, anger and racism are not reducible to each other, but you can't really have the type of inequalities amongst groups and amongst races in the United States that we see unless you really try hard. Let me give you one statistic on this one. Boston Federal Reserve just put out a report that did median net family wealth for Boston. White family, $247,000. Black family, $8. Not a typo, $8.
$8. You're not missing a zero there.
No. $8. It's generations of exclusion, redlining, and other practices which has fundamentally harmed that community. And that is, of course, a source of legitimate anger amongst that population.
All right. So politicians have learned to harness anger of the righteous kind and anger of the less productive kind for good and for not so good. But you would like to actually change the economy in profound, I mean, you admit it, radical ways.
The type of ideas that we want to push are ones that hopefully go beyond the usual left and right politicized boundaries. Something we're very fond of is the notion of a citizens' wealth fund. When you have a crisis like this, everyone dumps equities, which makes them artificially cheap. They buy bonds, which makes them artificially expensive, but the yields go negative. Why doesn't the government step in rather than private equity, buy up those shares, put them into a passive vehicle? You're not talking about control, but you get the upside of asset ownership. That's 6% compounded as those equities recover.
Well, let me understand the citizens' wealth fund a little bit better. I mean, I think of the sovereign wealth funds that places like Saudi Arabia and Norway have put together, these massive investment, almost endowments, from their oil wealth. It's a bit like that?
Yeah, it's very similar to that. The only question is, how do you fund it? And we live in a world where we've got no inflation, negative real interest rates, which means that investors are paying the government when they borrow. So long as your economy is in positive growth territory, if you have negative real rates, your debt will shrink. So we could even debt finance the purchase of these distressed equities, support serious parts of the American economy that are under stress because of COVID. And after the recovery, rather than handing it back to Wall Street, the public owns the wealth, not in the way of some socialist notion, and a very capitalist notion that we are passive investors in the national fund for our wealth, and then basically we're able to distribute the earnings from that, not to the top, but more to the middle and the bottom.
Distribute the money, like how?
Well, we're managing to do it right now in the COVID pandemic. We send people checks. Imagine if those checks were endowment checks. You could then say to people when they're 21, okay, you want to start a business? Good. We have to do something about college costs. This is another way of doing it. There's many things that we could do, but we've already gotten the habit of mailing people checks. Why not mail them checks that they've actually earned, because they are actually the de facto owners? They took on the risk when they bought these assets. Now they should get the reward.
I mean, should I worry that if the government gets into this giant stock portfolio or portfolio of securities that, you know, if something really bad happens, it tanks? And we're living at a time when something truly bad did happen.
Yeah, but look on the bright side. When it tanks, what happens is that the value of government bonds goes up. So the government could essentially refinance itself in that crisis and buy even more equities to take the upside the next time the market turns. It works. It really works. The reason that Norway and everyone else does this stuff, why does it have to be limited to people who have got oil rents? Why can't we do that with the productive stock of American capital and make it work for everyone?
Mark Blythe is a political economist at Brown's Watson Institute. His book, written with Eric Lonergan at the hedge fund M&G Investments, is called Angrynomics. Dr. Blythe, thank you.
A pleasure.
Reading the book, one truth the authors hold to be self-evident, which runs through many of their prescriptions, including the one you just heard, is the assertion that inflation is dead. How dead? I asked Dr. Blythe.
Dead.
We also talk to experts who aren't quite so sure. All of our Reimagining the Economy discussions are accumulating on the website, marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.